At 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that Christ came into this world. This is, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Now we look at the idea of Christ coming to this world and how Christ, God, became man. And we're told that, you know, on all points he was like us. That in here he can understand and he empathizes. He knows what it's like to suffer loss. He knows the pain of this world. And he tells us to come. But Peter tells us, look, because he came, we have an example. You know, I'm a person that you can try to explain something to me, and I'm a little thick. That, you know, you go down and say, "Okay, this is what I want you to do." I was like, "Okay, but I gotta see it." Right? Is anyone else kind of that way? Show me how it's done. Right? If you just tell me, then okay, it doesn't. And I'm horrible. When we're in Bible school, I worked on a construction crew. And you can always tell the area that I was working in because all the 2x4s had drawings on them. You know, they turn around and pick up a scrap piece of something and, okay, this is how this is going to go, and I draw it out. Okay, this is, I try to visualize that in my head. And it's real bad for angles and stuff like that because I take the, you know, boards and hold them up and draw lines, and I would just try to, I'm an extremely visual type of person. I find myself, even when I'm, you know, looking at the scriptures, I'm a storyteller. And I try to paint word pictures because I'm just so... Is anyone else that way? Show me. I got to see it. All right, I don't feel so bad. There's a few of you out there. Especially like, "Pastor, we didn't know you were so numb." All right. But here, show me. Show me. And we look at what this world is like. What we need oftentimes is show me how to live. What's it look like to say, "You know what, I love you, Lord. What does that look like in my life? You know, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? How is it just a word?" I mean, we get into the definition of Christian just means a Christ follower. Okay, well, what does that mean? Show me. The disciples at one point were, "Jesus, show us the Father." He goes, "How long have I been with you? Right? Look at me and you'll know what God is like." He came to be an example of how to love God. Of how you can live in this world. What can be done? The potential of things. Now, I'm not a huge sports fan, and so I always try to avoid sports illustrations. But I'm going to talk about figure skating because probably most of you don't know anything about it. Oh no, Linda's like, "I know about figure skating." All right, I'll probably mess it up, but I love watching figure skating. I'm just amazed at what these people can do of spinning and jumping. And I mean, and they call out names of, I don't even know the names of, you know, it's a triple cowlick. I don't know all the terms, you know, and they're like, "Oh, well, there's one jump," and they do another jump, and it's supposed to be a different jump, and it looks the same because they jump. But I'm fascinated by what these folks can do. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was watching the Olympics, and they cut to the Olympics from the 40s. And they show this black and white footage of what figure skating used to be. And I figured out why they call it figure skating, because back initially when it was started, they would have shapes marked on the ice. And the person would have to go and, you know, like the figure eight And I know that one because it looks like an eight. And they would have to come out through and skate and get on one foot and do the figure eight. And that was it. And by today's standards, things have changed. And it's funny, I was listening to one of the commentators and talking about, well, back in the 40s, no one even thought that you could do what people today are doing. It wasn't even in the imagination. You know, and every year they up the ante a little bit because now, you know, they're sprinting three times. Well, now they're sprinting four times and it goes up. And they said an amazing thing happens that once one person does a trick, all of a sudden everyone starts doing it because they know it can be done. And it's an amazing thing that once we get this idea, if hey, it can be done, maybe I can do it too. Now, in our house, the big joke is, you know, we watch that and all of a sudden, you know, Lauren will be scooting across the floor with her socks and doing all those type of things. And so we see, you know, these guys do these triple thingies. And it's like, oh, and so my big joke is, hey, I can do that too. Right? As I'm sitting in my chair. Oh, I can do that. And Lauren just kind of rolls her eyes like, yeah, right, Dad, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't do it. But I know it can be done. And in our lives, folks, as we go down through, we look at life. Because life is hard. That we go through this life, and oftentimes we wonder, God, are you there? God, do you really love us? How do I supposed to live? You know, the world has its own ideas. It's and the world's morality is shifting. There are things that people say, hey, it's okay now that you go back even 15 years ago. People didn't do. Right? And the world is all sifting sand. God's word doesn't change. Then in here, how do we live out this life? And by Christ coming, God coming in the flesh, putting on our characteristics, that He is our example. That we are able to... Does anyone remember back when these were all the fad? Did anyone have one? I'm curious. Did anyone have a bracelet? We got a couple here. All right. The WWJD bracelets stood for what? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? It was a simple silicone little rubber band that you can look at. Remind yourself, in whatever situation I am in, what would Jesus do here? Actually, this morning we're having a conversation in Sunday school class. If you ever want to come out to Sunday school, I encourage you to come out to Sunday school class. I enjoy that format of digging in the Word and asking questions and getting into going through the book of Genesis. And a question, you know, Susan brought out goes, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus have said? And we can do that because guess what? Jesus was here. Jesus walked. We can go down through. And I don't know about your Bible, but I have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels that talk about when Christ was here on earth. And my Bible is kind of fancy because every time Jesus spoke, it's in red. So I can instantly look down and say, oh, Jesus is talking. I can read what He says. I can read about what He did and where He went and how He behaved. I can look at all these things as an example for us. That as Christians, as Christ's followers, we can live His life in our day and age. John puts it this way. He says, he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. That in here, following Christ's examples of doing what He did, of saying what He said. The Scriptures are filled with it. Jesus Christ Himself turned around and said in John 13, He says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. we can see what it's supposed to be like to be human, because Christ became that. That He is the example. Now, I'll tell you, will I ever live up to that example? No. And maybe, you know, me trying to be a good Christian is probably very much like my daughter scooting around on the socks watching the figure skater up on the TV as they're doing these fancy things, and we often fumble along the way. And maybe as I'm trying to do it, it doesn't look exactly like what's on what we see. The other day we're going through and... Now, I don't tell my daughter this because she thinks I'm the coolest thing in the world. But I am not hip and cool. Emily, I know I'm shocking you. I'm not hip and cool. And so we're standing up and one of the big dance moves now is the floss. And so my daughter, actually, she can do it pretty good. And so she's like, Dad, you try it. And so I tried to do this little dance move. I will not do it this morning. I think it's outlawed in several countries. It was ugly. It was bad. And my daughter got a big belly laugh out of it, right? And sometimes, as we try to follow Christ's example, sometimes we stumble along the way in it. Because He was tempted in all places like us, except with no sin. He didn't give in to that temptation that often gets at me. But it doesn't mean we give up. It doesn't mean we surrender to this. And because Christ came, we can look at Him. And I got three areas this morning I want to look at for us to say, hey, Christ, You are my example. And as You lived it out, I want to exemplify that in my life. The first one I want to look at this morning is compassion. Is compassion. You know, the world in itself is every man or every woman for themselves. We were down in New Hampshire and went down to the mall down there on Thanksgiving. I guess it was an early Black Friday. And I was looking for some shoes, and we headed down to the shoe section in the mall. And talk about vicious. There were boxes all over the place. People were squeezing in. It was a blood sport. Trying to find a parking space and trying to turn in, and a person scooted in right. It was my spot. I was headed in the direction and they scooted right. Yet when Christ came, time and time again, His motivation towards other people was compassion. In Mark chapter 6, 34, it says, And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion for them, because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. So He began to teach them many things. That, folks, we live in a world where people are fallen, are separated from their Creator. And oftentimes we're surprised when the unsaved act like the unsaved. But folks, we are Christians, and Christ had compassion, so we need to have compassion. As we look around the world, that we look at the world around us and we see that those who are struggling... I shared with Kathy this morning that with her sister passing away, praise God that she knew the Lord and how that changes everything. I don't know how the lost world does it. I really don't. And so instead of getting angry, Lord, fill me with compassion. Because they're lost. Well, give me compassion for those around me. You know, I get filled up with anger. Right? It affects me and what's going on. And I look at them. Jesus looked at them and just, his heart was moved. If we stop for a moment and look at those around us and really stop and look at them, they need compassion. And Lord, in my life, take that irritation, take that frustration, take sometimes that anger. I was just sharing with someone this week, talking about this in prayer meeting, and you know, I didn't have a great relationship with my father, and I was very angry for a long time. And I had to give it to the Lord. Lord, you love my dad. And over the years, he replaced that anger with compassion. I got to a point where I felt bad for him. In our lives, those around us need that compassion. Luke, he says, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Jesus tells a story about the Good Samaritan. You guys know the story. A man was walking down the road and got attacked, and the priests and the scribes and all these those around him, and no one helps him as he's there beaten half to death. And yet it was a stranger, it was the outcast, it was the Samaritan who came and stopped because of compassion and helped and assisted. See, God doesn't want us just to have pity. You know, we can look down on people and, oh, well, I feel sorry for them. And we can have pity. Compassion is different. Compassion leads to action. It even rhymes. When you feel compassion for someone, you feel compelled to help. We live in a world where everyone is going their own direction 100 miles an hour. That we aren't aware of those in need around us, of someone who needs a hand. Just be aware of the lady that's in the store. He says, you know what? Can I help you with this? Our neighbor, can I assist you in that? In these things that are compassion, if we truly can feel compassion for people, we'll be like Christ and it'll lead to our actions. And I can't think of a better time of year to be involved in that. To show a world around us that we care about them. That's what the Lord did. Because Christ came, we have an example of humility. I don't know if you can make that picture out or not, but this is washing feet. And I've never been in a church where they wash feet. I talked to a lady that day, once a month, they have communion, and then they have a foot washing. And in here, they does exactly what it says. They wash each other's feet. And I'll tell you, the first time I heard about this, I was like, ew, I don't want to do that. And she, the lady I was talking to, she goes, yeah, that's exactly the point. Of humility. And this comes out of Jesus talking. In John 13... It's funny because this is an account as they're traveling down just prior to this. They're discussing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Prior to this, James and John, their mom was saying, hey, Jesus, can James and John have the right and the left hand of your throne when you get into heaven? Who's the best? Who's the greatest? And they traveled through a whole day and got to the place where they were staying. And then typically what would happen is you'd have a servant there that would wipe your feet because you're walking around in sandals. And the roads are dusty and dirty. They're traveling on the same roads with the animals and all their exhaust. And they sat down and by the door was the water and the towel. The servant wasn't there. So everyone came in, took off their shoes, and sat down. And as the meal started to progress, Jesus is kind of looking around, waiting to see if anyone's going to move. And no one did. Then verses 4 and 5 pick up. It says, Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, grabbed the towel and a bucket of water and scrubbed the toes of his disciples. Humility. Of serving, of putting others first. Of not thinking more of ourselves than we should. Putting the needs and wants of others before our own. Humility. You know, Jesus calls us unto himself, Matthew 11 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, come learn of me. Live your life to me. You know, this Christianity thing isn't a bunch of rules and regulations. It isn't that, you know, I'm better than you and I'm more righteous than someone else. Look at all the things that I do. Well, I go to church every week. Well, I'm the pastor. I have to, right? You know, I read my Bible all the time. Oh, I do these great prayers. Oh, look at me. How wonderful I am. You know, if we walk around like that, you know what people are going to do? They're going to run away from us. Someone made a comment. They said, you know, it's harder to join your church than it is to belong to God's church. Ooh. Jesus says what? Come. As a church, we are called to love and care for everyone who walks in these doors. In humility. As we look at the sinner who's struggling, saved by the grace of God, there goes I. Every once in a while, I'll get a little pious. And I find as I age, I got to wrestle with this a little bit more and more. Because, you know, somehow, when I was in my 20s, I was a lot smarter than 20-year-olds nowadays. I think. Right? And it's funny because, you know, every once in a while, kids nowadays, and I'm turning into that grumpy old man, and I'll be like, oh, I can't believe it. They're doing this, and they're doing that, and oh, man. And my wife will remind me once in a while, she goes, didn't you do that as a kid? Ooh. Wow. Or maybe I did the same thing as someone else. I just didn't get caught. And therefore, I must have been better. Hogwash. Humility. Humility. And what that does is open the door for us to love others. That what it does is it allows the opportunity for us to serve others. With nothing asked in return. You know, we got, a week and a couple days till Christmas. I know John's all done with his Christmas shopping, because he said he never started, right? I want to challenge you, this, between now and Christmas, whatever, I want you to challenge you to do something. One of the things that we had kind of done, we went out, and I'm not a cookie baker, and you know, and now you can go to like Walmart and get like a whole big of cookies for like $2. And it's not a big investment. But put together something, and I want you to give it to someone. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's the mailman, mail lady. Maybe it's a store you go into, or what? I don't know. Just ask the Lord. Just, Lord, show me something. This doesn't mean anything complicated. It could be something really simple. I went through Dunkin' Donuts once and just got a dozen donuts and then dropped them off somewhere. I said, thank you. And folks, as we get out of our shell and we go out and in humility, Lord, not doing this to say, hey, what great I am, but in here, and as you're saying thank you to someone else, I would almost guarantee that you'll give them a blessing in your humility. For someone who will never pay you back, maybe someone you see all the time that does something for you. Do something small, something simple. It doesn't have to be big and grand. So the last thing we see from Christ, that we have an example of priorities in our life. We all get up and we all have the same 24 hours as everyone else. The days haven't gotten longer. You know what? The same 24 hours I had when my parents were raising us is the same 24 hours I have today. We just fill it with a whole bunch of different stuff. I heard an illustration I thought was neat. A missionary was out in the field, and in here the ladies were trying to transport some rocks and some dirt from one place to another. And so they'd take these baskets and they would fill them up and they would carry them up on their heads. And they weighed an incredible amount. And in here, they would carry the rocks and they'd carry the dirt and they'd make it to the destination and drop it off. And the missionary said, oh, I can do this. And so he picked up a basket, and in here they need a certain amount of rocks and a certain amount of dirt. And he was watching them and they were carrying up their piles, and every pile goes through, and he gets up to his pile and he loads up all the sand into the basket and he puts the rocks in and he ends up with way more rocks. And he's looking around and they're all getting it all in there and his stuff doesn't fit. He couldn't figure out why. So he asked one of the ladies, he goes, I'm confused. I can't get all my stuff in my basket and you guys do it so easily. How do you do it? And she goes, it's simple. She goes, priorities. He goes, well, what do you mean? So she took his basket and dumped it out. And she goes, you always got to start with the big things. And she reached down and she took the big rocks and put the rocks in first. And she filled the basket up with the big rocks. Then she scooped up the sand and poured it into the rocks. And in here, the sand went down into the cracks between the rocks until it all fit. See, what he was doing was filling it all with the sand and then the rocks on top. Priorities in our lives. That, folks, we all have to make choices of what's important for us and fill our baskets with those things first. Then once we do the priorities in our lives, then we can pour in the other things to fill in the gaps. But oftentimes what happens is we look at everything and say, oh, it's all the same, and we wear ourselves out trying to juggle it all. Jesus, when he was 12 years old, I love this account. Luke tells us in Luke 49, he says, they come up through and they're down in Jerusalem. And the family leaves, and they leave Jesus behind. And they get out about a day's journey out from Jerusalem, and they look around and they say, oh, Jesus isn't here. Which makes me feel bad, because if I lose my kids, I don't feel bad. Mary and Joseph lost their kid too. And they go back down through and they desperately seek out Jesus and they find him in the temple. And here he is talking with the scribes and with the Pharisees. And he turns around and he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business. That Jesus from a young age learned, you know what? Put God first. Put God first. One of my favorite verses is, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Put God first. Be about God's business. And as you seek Him and draw close to Him, He will help take care of the rest of your things in your life. It is so true. You know, I met so many Christians who are just too busy. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. And then they wonder why things aren't working out. Because we've neglected the most important thing. When Jesus was ministering, they were all concerned over Him. He was going 100 miles an hour and going off and going from city to city and preaching and teaching and healing and all these things. And the disciples were concerned over Him. And they said, "Look, Jesus, you got to stop. You got to eat." And He turns around and He says, but He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know." And the disciples kind of scurry and said, "Hey, who gave Jesus food?" And He goes, "Well, hold on, whoa. And Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." If you look at me, you can tell I like food. I like food a lot. I like spicy food a lot. The other day went shopping with my daughter to finish up my wife's gifts. And so while we're in town, I said, "Oh, let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings." So we went in to get buffalo wings, which I think, I got to look at it, I'm not sure, but I think if you translate it into Hebrew, it's manna. I think that's what manna was. I think when Israel was in the wilderness, I think they had buffalo wings from heaven. That may not be true, but... And so I get like close to the hottest wings that they have, and it's just good. You know, any food that makes you snot when you eat it, makes me happy. And I don't miss a lot of meals. I squeeze them in. You know, if I was half as faithful to the Lord as I was to my gullet, what a better Christian I would be. Right? Jesus says, "Look, I have food that you don't even know about. Things that don't feed the flesh, but feed the Spirit. Things that bring health and strength through the Spirit will get you through in the hard times." And by putting Him first, His priorities, "Lord, show me Your will. Work out Your will in my life. That my desire, Lord, is to follow You." Folks, as Christ came, He was our example of what my life can look like if I follow Him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that God became flesh. Lord, Jesus walked on the roads. Lord, He was hungry. He was thirsty. Lord, He interacted with those around Him. Lord, He did that so that He could be an example for us. Lord, help me to live up to that name, Christian, a Christ follower. Lord, help me every day in every situation to ask, "What would Jesus do?" Lord, that I may make the wise choices. Lord, clothe me in humility. Lord, clothe me in compassion. Lord, show me the correct priorities in all things, that I may be like you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.